No role plays, just real. Chris and Lorenzo share 4 decades of combined experience to help you become a more effective leader.
We've never really, as a workforce, spent a lot of time on making sure we're developing good leaders.
We'll be able to share stories, experience, mistakes, failures, successes.
This is Hacking Your Leadership.
Welcome to Hacking Your Leadership. I'm Chris.
And I'm Lorenzo.
And Lorenzo, on this episode, I want to talk about a situation that I happened to be involved in a couple weeks ago, where I was sitting in a room when a leader of leaders was being delivered their kind of annual review, annual appraisal. And this company that I consult for, they deliver annual appraisals not to everybody at the same time, but to each person when they hit their anniversary, around their anniversary time. So it's kind of like a cycle that is always in with it when it comes to people delivering these things. And I kind of like that because it means that they're always in the mindset of that they need to be delivering these, but they're not overrun with like, oh, I have to do 30 of these at a time or 10 at a time. So I kind of like the way they do this. And I was in this room when this person was being delivered their annual review, and it went really well. Like the review that they were given was largely positive, but the issue came when it wasn't as positive as they believed it was going to be. Mm. And it turned into a conversation around what it meant to be, you know, kind of above and beyond what the definitions of the role are. And in a lot of organizations, you have this, you have these like these 9 boxes, you know, these grids where you have to, you know, say whether somebody is either not meeting where they're supposed to be, or that they're getting to where they're supposed to be, or they're going above and beyond. And in a lot of these items, this person believed that they should have been told, oh, you went above and beyond, when in actuality, what they were told was, you did exactly what was expected of you. There's nothing to change, nothing to get better. That you need to do, you're doing your role perfectly well. And the subjectivity that was given by both people, this leader who was being given their annual review that was coming back and talking about why they believed it should have been better, it was all subjective. It wasn't rooted in anything. But then the person delivering the review, talking about why it was what it was also giving subjective criteria. And so it was just, I was watching this kind of conversation become lost in translation because no one was grounding anything in anything other than what their own personal feelings were. And I think this happens all over the place. I think this happens all the time in organizations across the workforce. And I'm wondering, is this something that you have seen? Have you been in conversations like this where you are both right? Both people are talking from a standpoint where they're both right, but they're just talking 2 different languages.
Yeah, absolutely. I think a part of it, I think in any time that you're leading people in the people business, is like there has to be some subjective opinions around kind of behaviors and things like that. I think in some industries where like the outcome is the ultimate measure. So like I think of sometimes some of my friends that are like in the sales industries and things like that, where it's like you can tell how good of a job you're doing,
sure,
based upon how much you've sold. And so there can be some subjective opinions on maybe how you go about doing it or what you could do differently. But the end game is you've performed at this level or higher. And as a result of that, this is the monetary amount that you've made. I think in a lot of industries, some of that exists where you have to have some type of an outcome, whether it's a project or an expectation or potentially a business outcome. But a lot of it, especially in the leadership and the people business, is around behavior and behavioral change and some elements of subjective opinion on observation and how you would do it, how you could do it differently. And so I think that happens quite a bit. I believe that in most organizations, there are definitions of maybe how these things should be done or what you should look at, mm-hmm, but many times they're vague. Many times they make sense in theory, but not in specific detail in the context of what somebody does every single day. Mm-hmm. And then I think that as leaders, you know, that's a lot of the responsibility of the leaders is to actually have the dialogue to define some of those things.
Yeah, so a lot of those things, and I've been in organizations where those things exist, where you have those definitions, but they seem, when you read them at first glance, they make sense. But then if you stop to think about it for just a moment, you could understand how 5 different people reading the exact same things would come to 5 different conclusions on what they mean. Because you're right, they are vague. Oftentimes they're written by people who were never in the role that you're about to deliver a review on. You're giving a review to somebody, they're in this role. The definitions of what we're just talking about were not written by a person who was in that role or who has ever been in that role. They're written by somebody who is in, you know, whatever the talent development team is that's supposed to come up with these things. And maybe somebody on that team has some history in a related role years earlier. But there's nothing in the moment and nothing recent. And so those definitions, it could go no other way. Those definitions become really open to subjectivity. Even if the person who wrote them down first could say, yeah, this is very clear. This is what it means. It's like, well, that's what it means to you. And I'm glad that's what it means to you, but how do I know that? And if I'm the one who has to execute on these things, how do I know what it means to you? And does it matter? Does it matter what it means to you? What if it means something different to me, you know? And so I guess what I want to talk about here is how do you stop that from happening? From a standpoint of making sure that the individual person who's receiving this review doesn't leave the review thinking that this should have gone differently. Because if I think back to in my entire career, the people that I know who went from highly motivated, highly engaged, like the world is their oyster kind of people, to just completely disengaged, this I think can do it faster than anything else. These conversations where you think it's going to go one way and you're given a conversation where it goes a totally different way, best case scenario, it makes them disengage in the moment with that leader and think this person is not the right leader for me. Worst case scenario, it leads them to believe that they don't have any control. No matter what they do, the company's just going to figure out a way to shoehorn them into whatever review they wanted to give them anyway. And that doesn't feel good either. There needs to be some semblance of control from the person who has to execute so that there is no surprises when you have these conversations. And so, you know, how do you go about doing this? How do you make sure that this doesn't happen?
Yeah, well, I think to add to that before I answer the question as well, the other thing is that we tend to only remember things over the last couple of months.
Oh, right.
So especially, places where you do like an annual review, what we're really talking about is like the last 6 weeks, right? because like, that's just what happens. It's just human nature and there's a long time and you forget and ups and downs. But I think to answer your question, one of the things that I think is missing quite often is the actual collaborative conversation about the work that's to be done. Mm. And especially when you're talking about behaviors and things that you want to work on. And it sounds all good and dandy. Most people only want to talk about the measurable outcome, whatever that thing might be. Well, hey, you're good at your job, or you're establishing influence, or you're changing behaviors, or you're leading people, because the outcome of what it is that we're focused on should be better if you're doing the things. And then you hear a lot of people talk about, like, we focus on behaviors, not outcomes. And I'm like, yeah, like that, all of that makes total sense. But then show me the work. Show me where you're sitting down and saying, hey, Chris, I know that you're looking to want to continue to develop and grow. You're looking for potential career opportunities here. And you and I both know these are the things that we measure here from an outcome standpoint from success. So, right, the end game is that this thing should get better, whether it's you personally has somebody who can change the outcome, or the group of people that you work with, or if you're a leader that may work kind of for you. These things should get better as the ultimate measurement of is your team getting more effective, more efficient, and they're getting development. But what I want to talk about is not just that thing getting better, but what specifically are you going to do for the next 30 days, for the next 60 days? Like, how are you going to approach this? What are the milestones that you're going to put out there? What are the things that you're thinking about doing that's going to allow me as your leader to be able to follow up with you on a consistent basis to validate and verify that you're doing these behaviors? Because then if I want to be able to provide you with a real review or a real rating or a real 9 box or whatever it is that we use here, I can now specifically talk about the things that you committed to as a part of our conversation, and I can follow up to see, did you actually do those things? Which then will help me to better understand where we're at when it comes to giving you some type of a rating. And you're involved in it. These are things that are coming from you so that we can define this ahead of time. And I think that's a lot of what is missed in most organizations. A lot of companies say that, and they're like, this is how we plan, and this is how we develop it. Let's do a 30-60-90. Let's do a strategic plan. Everybody has different ways of thinking about the future and the actions that we want to take. Where a lot of it kind of falls off is when that outcome doesn't move the way that you want it to. We take those things and we toss them in the trash and we start over, right?
Yep.
Or we have this beautiful plan and after about 30 days, we don't want to follow up on it anymore. So we just kind of carry on. So like, that's what I think is missing. That's what I think is what causes that awkwardness of me saying for months and months and months, great job, Chris, great job, Chris, great job, Chris. And then we get to the review and I say, you did a really good job this year, Chris. You did just above average.
Right.
And you're like, wait a minute, how do I cash in all these great jobs?
Yeah.
And if I wasn't doing a great job or I could have done better, why didn't you tell me? I could have done something differently. I would have changed that. And here we are in that awkward conversation delivering some type of a review.
The first thing you said about remembering the last 6 weeks only, I was in a conversation, this was a couple of years ago now, but it was one of the most awkward leadership review conversations I've ever had where I was being given a review, and one of the examples that the person giving me the review gave was not even in the review period, because it was an annual review, and let's call it January to December, and the review was being delivered to me in March of the next year, because that's how long it takes to get everything done. And the example they gave of how I need to do better was something that happened in February. like six weeks earlier than when we were talking about it, but not even part of the review period. And when I said that to them, there was this oh crap moment in their head where they realized that was true. But you're so right. When the further you get removed from the actual actions, the more likely we are to forget it. And honestly, that's okay. It's okay that you don't remember every single interaction that happened with every single person. If you have 6 or 10 or 15 direct reports, how on earth are you going to remember when everything happened, about all the positives and negatives that they did throughout an entire review period? You have to have some way of recording this. You have to have some way of writing this down, of taking care of the documentation of this in advance. And I think, what better way than having the employee themselves do that. If the employee themselves is tasked with saying, hey, when you are doing something that you think speaks to what you're working for this year or this quarter or this month or this whatever, document it, write it down, and get it somewhere where we can have a conversation about it together, so that when it comes time to have these reviews and we sit down in the same room, there is no subjectivity anymore. It's we've had this conversation in advance. We've talked about what good looks like, and you've been able to define it as a person who's going to get this review. You've been able to say, hey, if for me to be told that I did everything right, I was just above average, I need to do this and this and this and this and this. And for me to be told I was like the creme de la creme, the best there is, like just completely above and beyond, I need to do this and this and this and this and this. What does good look like? What does exceptional look like? And if we define that in advance, and then I, as the leader, I'm fighting for that rating that I want throughout the whole year. Now, how do I do it? I build a case. I build a case for why I should deserve this. And if there are conversations that you and I can have multiple times throughout that year based on evidence that I'm presenting, I'm saying, hey, I did this. I think it means this. Do you think differently? Yes, you do. Okay, well, let's talk about why we think that differently. Oh, no, you agree. It does go towards this, exceptional work. Great. That's one more thing, one more notch to make sure that we're level set on what this conversation is going to look like. Because if you do this well, the review process itself, the review event itself is nothing more than a recap of everything. You could literally sit and have a conversation about personal life and say, oh, by the way, while we're here, we got to go over this. See, you, this is it. Oh, yeah. I know you agree and we agree because we've had this conversation 10 times. Just sign here for me. And then no one had the awkward conversation never happens again. It's so hard to do this in advance. And it's why a lot of leaders don't do it. It's like what you said, you put the plan away and you don't revisit it. And it's not that they don't want to revisit it. It's that the day gets in the way. The day of putting out fires, if you're the individual, the manager or the leader of leaders, you just want to set it and forget it and then have the conversation. You look at the review process as an event and not as an ongoing thing that happens every single day. And but if you do it well, then the actual review is easy. It's like, you know, I remember growing up as a kid and being told that I couldn't go out and play with friends until my room was clean, and looking at my room at the pigsty that it was and going, oh, I'm going to be here for 3 hours. Like, right, I'm going to be here for 3 hours now. But if I had just put my clothes away as they were done each day, there'd be nothing to do on Saturday before going out and playing with friends. It's this the little work that happens every single day that makes it so there isn't this daunting thing or this awkward conversation.
Yeah, no, as you were talking through that, I was thinking as well, like, so I'll give you a good example of where this can get awkward or difficult. And I just bought a new bag for work. Okay, so shout out to Jennifer. I won't say where she works, but she was phenomenal. I was talking to her assistant manager, and we were talking about this upcoming holiday in retail, and they were sharing with a part of what they're presenting to customers is like, hey, if you're thinking about getting one of these bags, I would get it right now, because there's a likelihood we're going to be low in inventory. We won't have any at all. Everybody's kind of in this space for the most part around, you know, shipping and where stuff's at and like a lack of inventory. And so in my mind, as you were talking about that, I was thinking about so what if Jennifer sat down with her assistant manager and her goal for this quarter was simply based upon units sold or revenue or whatever the case is, and not taking into account any of the effects of the behaviors or the things that she's working on? Well, that's going to get awkward in about 3 weeks if they don't have anything to sell.
Right.
Right. So like, this is a clear example of a space where you, as a leader, you've got to really think about, how am I making sure to work with my team and think forward in their development and provide clarity in around behaviors and around the things that we want to accomplish, in a space where maybe outcomes are highly, highly coveted, where you might not have those outcomes as much as you would during a typical holiday. So I think that's really, really a big thing to consider and think about as you're figuring out how you want to do this. Let me ask you this question. Is there anything else besides like getting caught up in the outcome that you see people would fall into potentially as a trap when they should be thinking about behaviors and setting it forward?
Yeah, of course. There's, if your behaviors require observation, if it's something that isn't completely aligned on in advance. And so if I am a leader of people and I'm tasked with giving somebody reviews and I want it to be based on behaviors, I can say all day long that it's based on behaviors. But if I can't back that up with actually taking the time to watch those behaviors happen in the moment, not every single day, but enough to where I know whether or not the behaviors are happening, the kind of trust but verify, then I have no leg to stand on. I can sit down with them and the results aren't there. But if I don't know that there might be extenuating circumstances as to why the results aren't there, my only logical way forward is to assume that the behaviors aren't there. Now, that's a very awkward conversation if I just assume the behaviors aren't there because I never watched, and the person who did it believes the behaviors are there. Maybe they aren't there. Maybe they really aren't there, and I'm right because based on years of experience, it just works if the behaviors are there. It doesn't matter. If I can't concrete that in saying, these are the times that I watched the behaviors not happen, and these are the conversations that we had in the moment. Remember these 10 conversations we had over the last year around why this behavior wasn't there, and let's talk about it in the moment where no one's in trouble. We're having just a regular conversation and around that one event. And you said, oh yeah, I can see how that is and I can do better on that. If I don't have those 10 things to put down to say, hey, the reason your results weren't there is because the behavior wasn't there, all I can do is say the results aren't there. And then they're going to say, well, the behavior was there. What do you mean? You said this was about behaviors. Oh, great. Now you have the awkward conversation. And so it's not just you can't just say it's about behaviors when all you're doing is looking at the results and just assuming that it means one equals the other. If you can't actually have the documentation of those individual moments that aggregate together to give you what you're looking for, you don't have that as part of your evidence. So remember what I said, 15 minutes ago, you as the individual person are building your kind of like your case of why you think you deserve this rating. As the leader, I need to be building that case also. Now, we're not, these aren't opposing cases. We both need to be building a case towards whatever the truth is. And if we're having those conversations in the moment, now I can go, oh wait, you know, we talked about what does it mean to be the exceptional, and we're having these conversations weekly or monthly, and these conversations that are happening weekly or monthly are leading me to believe that I'm not exceptional, that I'm just kind of like meeting the regular expectation of the job. Now I need to change some stuff. And if I don't have those conversations along the way, there's no way to change it in the final moments. You know, you have to do it every single day.
Absolutely. And with that, it brings us to this episode's 1 minute hack. But first, a few words from our sponsors.
The 1 minute hack.
All right, for this episode's 1 minute hack, here's what I want you to do. I want you to get your pen and paper, and I want you to write down what you believe the criteria is for your organization on what would lead to a kind of meeting the standards of the job versus being exceptional. What does it mean to see somebody get from one level to the other? Write those down and bring them with you to the next conversation you have with every one of your direct reports. And then I want you to ask them to write down what they think it means too. This isn't a test. There's no wrong answer. You just want to see what they're thinking in their head. And then you can talk about those lists together, what they think it is, what you think it is. The goal is to come to an agreement on what that means, what it means in advance of the work to be done. Once the work has been done, all they're going to do is try to figure out how to make the work they've already done fit into the exceptional box. That's all they're going to be doing. So it can't be based on work that has already happened. It only can be based on work that will happen in the future, because there's an optimism that goes along with that. There's I'm working towards this. I think I can get this. And if you can come to an agreement in advance on what those behaviors are that would lead to a rating of kind of meets the standard versus being exceptional, then your responsibility as a leader is throughout the process, make sure you have the documentation to support that throughout. Their responsibility as the person is to make sure that they have the documentation to support that throughout. The examples they have, when they've done something great, have them tell you about it in whatever way they can communicate that to you. And when you see something, tell them about it. The goal is to make sure that these are like bumpers in a bowling lane where you don't know you're in the gutter till you're already there. That's terrible leadership. Make sure your people know that they're on the path at each step of the way. And when you have those conversations at their annual review time, none of them will ever be awkward again.
Absolutely. I think it's a great 1 minute hack and just a really good reminder of kind of the importance of pre-planning, being proactive and being clear with the teams that you lead, along with what you're going to do and how you're going to follow up with them. Those types of relationships and that type of clarity is critical to really allowing people to show up as their best and know exactly what needs to get done, and then know exactly what extra needs to happen for them to show exceptional work.
Right. I agree. And the best thing about this is there's a symbiosis that occurs between the person receiving the review and the person writing the review. In most organizations, you have some semblance of responsibility on your own development and growth and opportunities. But there's also a leadership component of it also. In organizations that don't work very well, the responsibility or the onus is on the leader to just kind of do everything and report the results. And then you get those awkward conversations. In also organizations that don't do very well, the responsibility is completely on the individual person to kind of like make their case, while the leader just sits there and goes, you know, I think I like this or I don't like this. Neither of those work. It has to be collaborative, and it has to be a situation where both people feel like there's a there's nothing getting lost in translation. You're speaking the same language throughout, so that when you sit down and have that conversation, you know, you're still speaking the same language. It doesn't get lost over time.
Absolutely. And with that, it brings us to the end of this episode. This is Hacking Your Leadership. I'm Lorenzo.
And I'm Chris.
And we'll talk to you all next time.